Hey, we're on a series of lessons called God is Your Portion. Come on, say that with me. God is your portion. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, tell him to come on, make that confession. God is your portion. Come on, it's one thing for being you, but say it to somebody else. I believe God is your portion. If you've been with us for several weeks, we started this. I think this is our fourth lesson today. That we looked at an Old Testament scripture that the word portion means the land. God says, I'm going to give you, Israel, the portion I have for you. It was in the land of promise or the promised land. It was a physical land. It was also called their allotment or their inheritance. We would say it's the plot of land that God's going to give us. This is where I'm going to bring my agriculture. It was, you know, agricultural farming communities. I'm going to raise my cattle there. I might have a little business there. Everything I need is going to be hooked to the land, the inheritance that God would then give them. Now we know that we're not always, you know, we're not living that same kind of lifestyle now. We're not having to raise our own food and be sustained that way. But God's still got a portion for all of us from the Old Testament analogy to the New Testament analogy. That word is the same, called inheritance. Our inheritance now is in Jesus Christ, and it is a spiritual inheritance that belongs to you, just like in the Old Covenant. They got a physical land. They got a physical portion, a physical allotment. Now you have a spiritual portion, a spiritual inheritance, a spiritual land, a spiritual allotment, and you got to know about it, and you got to defend it, and you got to fight for it. And we found out last week, one thing that we looked at is that your portion was salvation, or is salvation. Again, God coming to you through the person of Jesus Christ that saves you, delivers you, restores you, heals you, blesses you, takes care of you, not only in this life, but for eternity. Anybody beside me glad for salvation, right? We found out our first lesson, we actually found out from Deuteronomy, the Old Covenant. It said that the Lord says the Lord's portion is his people. So we think that, and we rightfully so, God, you're my portion. But God says, even before you say I'm your portion, God says, you are my portion. I'm coming to you first. And he says, this is his inheritance. We are God's inheritance. Think about that. We think about inheritance. Everybody thinks about it this way. What is grandma, what is mom and dad going to leave me when they go? They're going to leave a house. I'm going to have to sell it. We all, kids, get divvied up and get some money. Inheritance in a natural way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God says, you are my inheritance. You are my portion. Everything I have, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you all my joy. I'm going to give you all my peace. I'm going to give you all my salvation. I'm going to give you all my provision. I'm going to give you all my healing. Everything I have, I'm going to give to you. Come on, everybody, I'm going to give to you. We're going to talk about today, as we talked last week, that your portion is salvation. Today, along those lines, secondly, let's talk about this, that your portion, our portion, is grace, is grace. I was talking to some people yesterday, and when we were growing up, the men's, you know, we're around table yesterday for Man Up. When I was growing up, and even my early years preaching, I preached tons of messages on faith, and faith is extremely important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you and I don't have a working definition and an understanding of the grace of God, you'll go through some situations in your life that you'll think God doesn't care, that God is unconcerned with you, that you've done something to tick God off, that somehow your faith isn't working, and you'll begin questioning God just because you don't have a real good working definition of faith. So listen to me. Today, let's dig a little bit deeper. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago, we talked about grace, I think, in one of our lessons, but I want to go over some things maybe I said back then, and a whole lot of new things, and we're going to button it up at the very end, and I hope just to hit a home run with you at the very end. Come on. Does that sound all right? So I believe the Lord's going to lob me a real easy pitch to hit a home run today. Come on, everybody. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Look with me. Let's read it as it comes on the screen. Is it there? All right, let's go. Let's read it. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let me ask you, what do you do with a gift? What do you do with a gift? Come on, help me out. What do you do with a gift? You open it. You receive it, right? You receive it. Number one, you got to know it's for me, and you open it, and you use it. You receive the gift. You use the gift because you know the gift is going to benefit you. If you knew the authority, if you knew the power of the person giving you the gift, you'd probably open up the gift sooner than somebody else that gave you a gift. Meaning, somebody you really love, somebody who's very wealthy, somebody who likes you and you found favor with, and vice versa in your relationship with, and they say, hey, you know, why don't you come to my house, and I've got a little something I've been thinking about giving you for a long time, and I know it's your birthday and it's a special one. You turn 50, and how many of you will go, ooh, my expectation is a little bit excited right now. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna expect something amazing. When I get this thing, I'm just not gonna stare it. I'm gonna open it up with the anticipation. It's gonna help me. I'm gonna use this. This is what grace is all about. Grace is a gift given to you beyond you earning it. It is freely given to you by God. Grace is your portion. Look on the screen, several things we'll talk about. Look at this. God's grace is God's gift to you. We've already said that. It's God's gift to you. It's God's gift to you. Grace is God's unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. Notice that, unmerited. You can't merit it. You can't work enough. You can't generate enough good deeds to earn it. It's unmerited. It is unearned. It is undeserved. The only way you get grace is if you don't deserve it. Nobody deserved grace. Nobody deserves salvation. None of us deserved a relationship with God. But God says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to provide you Jesus. And all you got to do is receive him, open him up, if you will, have him in your life, allow his power and word to transform you, and you're going to be working out my inheritance for your life. Come on, everybody. Regardless of what I do, regardless of where I've been, regardless of what I know, regardless of my current situation, it is unearned, it is unmerited, undeserved favor. God's grace tracking you down. God's grace running to your aid. God's grace running to your support to help you in every situation of your life. Can somebody say, praise the Lord? Man, grace is the power of God freely given to you so you can do all the will of God. You can't do the will of God without God's grace. You can't do it. Grace is God's divine enablement on your life, his enabling you. We'll read a scripture that just pinpoints this with the Apostle Paul so prolifically. Look at this. Grace is God's sovereign, divine ability to work on your behalf. Grace is continually working on your behalf, not because of who you are, not because of how many Bible verses you know or don't know, not how long you've been saved or not saved. God's grace is constantly working on your behalf. The grace of God, the favor of God, the goodness of God, the generosity of God, the power of God, the glory of God. Come on, constantly coming to your side, constantly coming to your condition, constantly holding you up when you can't move on, constantly paving the way, constantly opening doors and shutting other doors. The grace of Almighty God, not because you earn it, not because you deserve it. On the contrary, freely given because of Jesus. Can you say amen? Man, I was thinking about this past week, so I just wrote it down. It'll be on the screen right now. Your powerlessness doesn't detour his powerfulness. So some of us, I just think, we think that everything that goes on in life with God is based on me. Whether I'm mustering enough power, whether I've got enough believing. And believing is important. Faith, of course, is very important. But the foundation of grace is that God's constantly going to come to my aid. He's constantly going to track me down. He's constantly going to get me back on the right path. He's constantly going to take things out of my life and bring things into my life continuously. Listen to me. So when I don't think I have power, I've got power that I need right now. When it doesn't look like anything's going on, there's a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot going on. So based on that, a little lengthy sentence, but look, since grace didn't originate from you, and you can't tell God what he will do in you or for you, and you can't tell him what he should or shouldn't do now with anyone else. Grace didn't originate from you. You cannot tell God what he will do or won't do in your life. You're not God. If you will just stop where you're at and quit looking around at everybody else, and this is where we get a problem, and we look around at other people and going, I can't believe you do that for them. I don't know how they're getting blessed. Look, do you know what kind of marriage they have? They don't even show up at church. I know. And look at them. Look, Lord, they got a brand new car. How'd that happen? Well, they got better credit than you. That's why. That's how that happened. That's how that happened. We'll talk about that some other time, right? That's a whole nother thing. Your credit's wrecked. That's why. So we got to work on that. Get a Dave Ramsey course or something here. But listen to me. God's grace didn't originate with you. So let's realize that whatever God sees in you, he wants you to see it. And he wants you to rely on it so you can be the person God wants you to be. Key scripture, Romans 5:17. Look at it. Romans 5:17. It says, for by one man's offense, this is Adam, Adam's offense and Adam's sin. By one man, Adam, this is in the Garden of Eden. By one man's offense or sin, death reigned, spiritual death reigned through that one man, Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace, much more than the sin that happened with Adam and Eve, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. My Lord and my God. This tells me that no matter what happened to Adam and Eve, no matter what happened in the beginning with the curse, with Adam and Eve listening to the lie of the enemy and falling prey to separation from God, and that death, that sin spread to all of us, the scripture says. We all were not immune from it. We all born sinners in this life. But the scripture says and tells us here, there's something that reverses that, and this is called receiving the gift of salvation. And when we do, we receive the abundance of grace and this gift called righteousness. And this is going to do something in you and me. This is going to allow us to reign in life. Listen to me, reign means rule in life. Not be dominated, not have something continually over your life, not be under the cloud of darkness and fear and depression and worry and anxiety, not living the rest of my life on Prozac, not having to get up and roll a doobie and smoke one and just get my mind right today and not have to go from fear to fear, not have to live in failure and frustration and worry and bitterness, but I can live and rule and reign over myself, over my situation, over my past, over my present, and in Jesus' name, continually rule and reign in my future through the abundance of grace. Come on, everybody. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And next week we'll talk about this, the gift of righteousness. This is our portion. This belongs to us. So it says you're going to rule and reign in life through this, but let's say it this way. You will reign in life through knowing about and applying this abundant grace and gift of righteousness. If you don't know about it and you don't apply it, you're not going to reign in life. You're going to think, you're going to read the Bible, you're going to come to Man Up yesterday, and you're going to hear about a soldier, and you're going to hear about an athlete, you're going to hear about a farmer from three brothers who are working stuff out that they got in their own life. You're going to hear me, or you're going to get around a ladies meeting, hear Pastor Kimberly, some other ladies that are walking in some victory, and you're going to go, what's the problem? How come I don't got that? Listen to me, just because it's for you doesn't mean it'll work if you don't know about it. You got to know about it, and then you got to apply it in your own life. Come on, somebody help me say amen. Amen. So it tells us there's an abundance. Those who receive the abundance of grace, Abundance. I feel like a failure. I feel like, man, I did this and I did it again. And I live under the cloud of sin and separation from God. Like somehow there's something wrong. No. I'm going to do what 1 John 1:9 says. I'm gonna come to you and confess my sin because you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And the grace of God is available for me. Come on, everybody. Amen. Amen. So this portion, this allotment, this land, this inheritance, grace, it's available to you. Grace, listen, let's give you another word. I've said it a couple times. But grace is all of God's favor that's available to you right now. Listen, right now. Right now. Not one day. Not when you learn enough. Not when you get spiritually mature. So spiritually mature. No, it's available to you right now. Continuously. Several months ago, many months ago, we talked about a subject along these lines. We said a couple of things. I want to rehearse them to you because just because you heard it doesn't mean you remembered it. And we said this, that grace, as we've already read, in the original intent of the Bible, it means a gift. It means a gift. And the gift in Bible times, when someone received a gift in Bible times, the gift was given, listen to me, with the intention and expectation of a returned gift. One more time. The gift was given from a king to another king in expectation of receiving another gift. If you receive the gift on the first end, you've entered into a form of partnership with the giver. Now, here's where your mind needs to go. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor, unmerited. I can't work for it. I can't earn it. But if he gave it to me, he must want me to do something with it. So look on the screen. This gift is given with the motive of reciprocity or response. Reciprocity. I've received the grace of God. Paul says this, don't receive the grace of God in vain. He says another place, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, you can frustrate the grace of God, not work out what God's worked in. For Paul, the Apostle Paul, grace is unconditioned, but grace is not unconditional. It's not given to you on the basis of worth or merit, but there is an expectation from God of return. Now listen to me. This does not mean that grace isn't free, isn't unmerited, isn't unearned. For Paul, there's no contradiction in this. Here's the dichotomy that you need to have. Here it is. You're not saved by your works. You're saved for works. Nothing you do can save yourself. You can't earn enough favor with God for his grace to be given to you. Abundant grace. No. You get it because you're his child, your son or your daughter. You've got the same grace on your life. Listen to me. The abundance of grace, not a gift to do something, but the abundance of grace that Billy Graham had. You got the same grace on your life that the Apostle Paul had. Not the grace to be an apostle, not the grace maybe to be a preacher, but the grace to live this life as a believer. Amen. You've got it. Come on, everybody, say, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. And it comes with a reciprocity now that God's saying, I want you to work out what I've worked in your life. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to realize it's not based on what you do. So I want you every now and again, if you have to, just would you just relax and quit being so spiritually intense? When I was growing up, we had some ladies in the church, and they were intercessors, and these intercessors had a tendency to get weird, as most intercessors do. They got a tendency, especially intercessors that don't have a strong husband. They become spiritual heads of their house and try to run the church. Can we say it out just like that? And so they would go around and they would try to sniff around some different people and try to like prophesy and tell them what God was doing. And they were stepping all out of their grace. And they were messing people up. Let me tell you what, grace won't mess you up. The grace gift on your life is going to be a benefit for you and for everybody else. Can somebody in the house say amen? So here's what Paul says. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Here's what he says. He says, but by the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. I am what I am. God's grace in my life, here's what he's called me to be. I am what I am. And his grace toward me, look at this, was not in vain. But what did he do? I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I worked out what he worked in. The grace of God in me is laboring. The grace of God is actively involved in Paul's case, going from city to city and preaching the gospel, planting churches, establishing churches, raising up the next generation of Timothy's and Silas's and other ones under him and holding other people up and spreading the gospel and enduring the antagonism of Rome and the religious people and continually going, regardless if he was shipwrecked or beaten or bruised or stoned, the grace of God working in them to get up every day saying, I'm going to serve Jesus today. Come on, I'm going to be a godly man today. I'm going to be a godly woman today, right? The grace of God working in all of us. So again, grace was given. Here's what we're saying. Grace was given so that you and I would do something. It's given so we would do something that with what God's given us. This is why the grace of God was given us. And the grace of God continually strengthened Paul. And can I tell you something? God's grace is going to continually strengthen you. This is your portion. He says and continues with the same kind of thought in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, we are God's workmanship. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. We're the workmanship of God. To do what? We're recreated. We're born anew in Christ Jesus. What is that for? To do good works. To do good works, again, to work out what he's worked in, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God's already got the path prepared. He's already given us grace, and it always looks like there's hedges and there's mountains and there's rivers we can't cross and there's obstacles and there's some darkness and there's some giants in the land. God's grace allows us to move forward continually. The grace of God, the grace of God. One writer I was reading about said this, Paul's view of grace is that of a power source of energy and inspiration, love and presence of God with him. It's as if the abundance of God's generosity coupled with the mismatch of Paul's worth became this supernatural power in his life. So when Paul looked like himself, he said this, I'm the least to even be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. That's what he said before this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not going to live my whole life remembering Saul of Tarsus that persecuted the church. I'm going to live my life in the godly man who Jesus Christ saved, who is working out what he worked in me. Amen. Find your new identity in Christ in the grace of God. Paul says this. He was going through one of these tough times. And just like when you read the Bible, what's so beautiful is that you'll read the good, the bad, the ugly. You'll read real life stories when you read the Bible. Yeah. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Check this out. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that God gave me. He gave me the revelation of grace. He gave me the revelation of faith. He gave me the revelation of salvation. Paul says, all these revelations that God gave me, we got a book, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, all the books Paul wrote, Romans, all these books that are summarized in this phrase, the abundance of revelations. Since God gave me this, guess what also I got? A thorn in the flesh was given to me. He tells us what the thorn was, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, harass me, try to get me off course, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, man, I got this demonic harassment in my life. And he says this, concerning this thing, I pleaded, I prayed, I begged. You look at different translations. I came to the Lord asking that this thing might depart from me. That's good to do. Lord, I got this thing in my life. Get it off me. What happens? He said, God said, Jesus said, my grace, come on, read it with me. My grace is sufficient for you. for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you're going through some stuff. Can I tell you? Listen to me. God is either going to remove that thing from your life, or God is going to empower you to go through that thing in your life. Either or, God's will is going to be done in you. So you got to surrender to ever how he's going to do it. This is what the grace says. Lord, either you're going to fly me over this mountain, or we're going to get a shovel and dig through this mountain. But we're going through this mountain. Come on, everybody. You're going to empower me. You're going to strengthen me. You're going to enable me. Come on. Your grace is sufficient for me. It's everything I need. It's what I need, Lord God. It's available to me. So he says this, and he concludes, therefore, most gladly. Wow. I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God can rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure. What an attitude. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in needs. Who is this guy? I take pleasure when I'm persecuted. I take pleasure when there's distress and stressful situations in my life. For Christ's sake, read the last phrase, will you? For when I am weak, then I'm strong. He's realized God's strength is sufficient for everything I'm going through. Every trouble, every pain, every calamity, every difficulty, every frustration, every setback, everything that I kind of factored might be something, but didn't see this thing coming. Every difficulty, every hurricane, every tornado, every storm. Friends left me. Evil one came in. I got a thorn in my side. I got this messenger of Satan. I don't know what to do. I got lies coming to my mind. I got fears about my future and my past dominating me. I'm asking you, Lord God, to take this stuff away from me. And all I got from you is this word, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, evidently, that is the gift that I need in abundance that's going to get me to the other side. Amen, everybody? Come on, can somebody say amen? Yeah. Come on, let me wrap this up this morning. There's a Old Testament story I hope you fall in love with. Two, when I'm going to finish up today. One is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a story of a man named Elkanah. Elkanah is a man, he's an interesting man. He wouldn't be a modern man today in the sense because he's married to two women. Come on, so all the men said, help me, Lord. Come on, everybody. He's got a woman. He's got a wife that he loves. Her name is Hannah. Hannah is a wonderful helpmeet, loves her. He's also got another woman that he's married, and her name is Peniah. It's interesting that the scripture says that Hannah was barren. She's barren, can't have kids. Peniah, she's popping out kids like popcorn. She's fruitful. Every time Elkanah looks at her, she's got another kid. Well, in the Old Testament, if a woman was barren, they thought she was cursed by God. And not only to have that thinking that I'm cursed by God, but the scripture says that every year when they would go to the temple, every year they'd bring a sacrifice, every year, that Elkanah, the husband, loved Hannah so much he would bring an extra portion for her, always gave her more. He loved her, but Peniah would always scorn her, always jeer her. Probably had all her kids around, all in the same outfit, had Oshkosh B'gosh on. Come on, you know what I'm saying? You've seen those pictures, all the kids dressed the same. Kind of just looking spiting her, you know. Scripture actually uses this word, she provoked her continually. Man. But the Bible says that she went this one year to the temple, and in her anguish, she cried out to God. How many know it's good to cry out to God when you got a thorn in the flesh? Yeah, yeah. And she would pray to God, asking God for a son. Can I tell you something that's interesting? You know what Hannah's name means? Her name means grace. Listen to me. Grace was barren. Grace was barren. I was thinking about this for weeks and weeks. And I've concluded this. Even though you're called something, grace, many times you still have to contend to be something. God's grace is for you. His ability is for you. His power is for you. His unmerited free favor is for you. But unless you cry out to God many times to see it, to embrace it, to be it, it's almost like it just keeps passing you by and the enemy keeps provoking you. If that's what God says, it's not working in your life. Look at your life. You're a wreck. Look at everybody around you. Nothing good happens to you. And you'll get this disdain and this distrust in your mouth and in your heart. And you won't even be able to look up your eyes and praise God. But she pours out her heart to God. Grace pours out her heart to God, Hannah. And the Bible says that God heard her. And God gave her a son, and his name was Samuel. And Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament and brought Israel back to serving God. Listen to me, powerful, powerful lesson that unless you cry out to God many times, even what God wants to give you is lying dormant until you stir yourself up and say, I will not be this way anymore. I want to work out what God's worked in me. I want to be a man, a woman, a teenager, a young adult of the grace of God. I want to work out that unmerited favor. I want to see it. I want to enjoy it. And I'm contending for with you, Lord God, that whatever's gone on in my past that I'm not seeing right now, that I begin to have revelation and insight into who you are and what you called me to be. Can you say amen, everybody? Come on, say amen, everybody. Come on, you've been sitting for a while. Stand up as I read you this last story and we talk about it. What I'm going to do in the next couple minutes is I'm going to ask, as God is talking to your heart, that you're, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm asking, as I believe there's several of you in the room, that I'm going to ask you to come up here and let this front of this church be an altar for you. And that today, I'm going to say yes to the grace of God in a new way. A portion of God for my life. I'm going to say yes to what God's saying. Maybe I don't see it all right now, and maybe I'm in a battle right now, and I've got a thorn in the flesh. I got a messenger of Satan messing with my mind. But today, something's going to break as we just pray. Listen, second story. There's a guy in the old covenant that everybody in the room knows. His name's David. David was actually, after he killed Goliath, he was anointed to be the next king. Only problem, there already was a king. His name's Saul. He was still king, but really an anti-king, not operating under the will and purpose and plan of God. Not fighting the enemy. He was actually doing his own thing, fleshly, carnal guy. Well, King Saul had a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan should have been the next king, heir apparent, but Jonathan is in a relationship with David as a best friend, and he realizes, dude, I ain't the next king. You are. They loved each other. They defended each other. Well, the scripture says that there was a day that King Saul actually died, and Jonathan died on the battlefield. And even though that the scripture says that David and Jonathan entered into this covenant, which means all that I have is yours and all that you have is mine. Again, David couldn't protect Jonathan. He died in this battlefield. But years later, the scripture doesn't say why it happened, doesn't give us any insight into the timing of this. But David, he is now the king. He wasn't just, Saul's dead. He is the king of Israel. And it says this in 2 Samuel. He says this, is there still anyone who is left to the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, gracious love, covenantal kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there anybody that I can be kind to? Is there anybody that I can show grace to because of Saul, because of his son Jonathan? I'm just looking to bless somebody. Listen. I'm just looking for the portion of my life to be good to that family. And he finds out that Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is not living a great life. He's actually living in a place, kind of tongue-in-cheek for us, in a place called Lodabar. He's living beneath the bar. He's living a sub-existence life. What's terrible about this situation is that the scripture says early in Mephibosheth's life, when an enemy tried to come into the kingdom, his nurse picked him up and was running in such haste that she dropped him as a little boy and broke his legs, and he was lame in his feet. Couldn't get around like anybody else. Maybe had to be carried. We don't even know. On crutches? Maybe, possibly. But listen to me. This is exactly the way all of us are born when we come to this earth. We're born lame. We can't walk. We can't do what God's called us to do or be who God's called us to be or enjoy everything God's called us to enjoy because of sin. But the scripture says something amazing. Grace, kindness, favor of God Almighty through a person called David was chasing after Mephibosheth. And listen to me, God's grace, his kindness, his favor, his generosity is coming chasing after you. David found Mephibosheth, brought him. Mephibosheth didn't know what's going on. He actually bows in David's presence, and David said, come on, son, get up, get up. And he tells Mephibosheth, he says, listen, all the land that your father, your grandfather Saul had, I'm giving back to you. Not only that, all the servants of the land, they're going to be working in your behalf. They're going to plant, they're going to reap, all the harvest is going to be yours. You're not going to have to worry about any of that. All your future is blessed. And he says this, he says, but listen, there's more. He says, every single day you are going to eat at my table. Think with me. 4 hours ago, you're living in Lodabar. You're busted up, you're in anguish, you're in pain, and grace comes running after you. The kindness of God, the favor of God, the generosity of God, and says, you are coming up out of that situation. I'm gonna carry you, I'm gonna bring you to myself, and you are gonna eat at my table. Can somebody say praise the Lord? This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. Jesus came into our broken, messed up lives, and he came to pick us up and bring us to the Father. This is what grace does. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. I just say yes. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you. So the scripture says this. The scripture says this. In Hebrews 4:12, the scripture says this, let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whatever you're going through, I believe there's all of us times in our life when it's like our feet are broken, our ankles are broken, our legs are broken. We can't do what God wants us to do. We can't, we're not even working out what God's worked in. Listen to me. Today, I believe this altar right here can be a place of beginning and new beginnings and healing in your life. Come on, do you believe that? Come on, that we're gonna sing, we're gonna worship just a second, but I want you to just come out of your seat and make a place up here. Let it be an altar. Come on, everybody. Come on, in Jesus' name, we welcome you.
All my life, we welcome you. You have been faithful.
Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness right now. We thank you, Father. We come to you, Lord God.
All my life.